Well, good morning. Welcome to Healing Class.
Good morning.
My name is James. We're going to start off with a little funny. The chicken. Oh, you can't hear. Can you hear me now? And we are on. Okay. Well, anyway, the chicken said to the rooster, "There's need to be some excitement in my life. It's really dull." The rooster looked at the chicken and said, "What are you expecting to do?" The chicken said, "Look at the white line out there on the highway. I'm going to go out there and lay an egg, and I'm going to lay it in the center of that white line." The rooster said, the only advice that I can give you, be quick, make sure you lay it on the line." Father, we thank you for this time that we can come together for your word. We thank you that your word is life. We thank you that you are quickened. Everything that is being said and done is coming alive to each one of us. We bless you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our title today is, "You've Already Got It." Yes. We want to focus on that. And we're going to repeat that more and more. You already got it. It's not something we're trying to find or not something we're trying to get. We already have it. You know, it's in our spirit. Everything that God did for us through his son Jesus was already given to each one of us. Each believer have it. Our foundation scripture is going to be 3 John 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as his soul prosper." The last time that I spoke, we had some tests that I had to get done doing our physical things and whatever, and all of them passed flying colors. Blood pressure, colonoscopy, all of those things happened, and it was a good report, okay? And, you know, and it comes down to the word of God. But I love what John was writing here by the Holy Spirit, his beloved. And that's something personal. That's God is speaking directly to each one of us. He said, "Beloved." But he said something, "I wish." And, you know, when we think about wishing, a lot of time we're in the season right now where we're wishing people's a happy Christmas or a happy New Year. But when we look at the word "wish," the definition of it means feel or express a strong desire, hope for something that is not easy attainable, wanting something that cannot or probably will not happen. Those are things that is, so there's four things in here that we're going to look at that have really ministered to me. The second one, he says, "In all things." We want to look at all things. All things is dealing with what he was talking about in every situation at all time. Okay? And prosper. When we look at prosper, it means successful, in material terms, flowing, flourishing financially. Okay, so when I looked at those things and as I meditate on these things, that involved everything that is within me, every believer. This is what we have as a believer. Then it's talked about our health, and that's going to be one of the topics we'll go probably into a little bit deeper when it's talking about the health. But as we focus on this here, do anyone see anything in here that might grab them or they might want to share? You might have had some experience with some of the things we've talked about, you know, hope, all things, and prosper. Did anyone want to, anyone have any question concerning any of those things? Okay, yes, ma'am.
I know several years ago, my husband's business is usually slower this time of year, and I would like really fret and get nervous. But after really understanding how much God wants us to prosper and how much He's actually taking care of us, when times get, when business gets slow now, I'm like, whatever.
Okay.
I know things are going to be okay.
Right. Right, because you have that peace.
Right.
Yes, okay. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
In the King James, it says hope in the New Testament. But if you look it up in Strong's, every time that word is really expect or await.
Mm-hmm.
We think of hope, you know, you flip a coin and maybe this will happen and maybe it won't. But expect, it's like when you look at Christ, is He coming back again? I'm not hoping that. I expect it.
Okay. Okay.
Very good.
Anyone else? Okay, let's read this together. You know, let's read 3 John 3 and 2. Because I believe when we read this, what happened is God speaking directly to us. You're not getting it secondhand, you're getting it firsthand. Okay? And what do you say? Are we ready at John 3, 2?
John 3, 2 or 3 John?
3 John, yes, I'm sorry. Thank you. 3 John 3, 2. Yes, are we ready? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. See, this is what God wants for each one of us. This, you know, as we said, is already on the inside of us. Okay, we already got it. And if we already got it, we don't have to work for it. We don't have to try to do anything. We just receive what is already ready ours. Will we agree with that?
Yes.
But when I'm looking at, he says, beloved, that's something personal to me. That's him speaking personally to me, my beloved. That shows that I'm someone special.
Amen.
You know, when we say my beloved, I mean, it really just gives me a picture or who he is and what he actually done for me.
Yes.
It's him ministering from my spirit to his spirit. You know, it's just awesome. My beloved. And you know, the more and more I read this, the more and more what happened is it just helps me to understand how much God really and truly, truly do love me.
Mm-hmm.
And that he want his best and everything in my life. He want me to prosper. He want me to be in good health. He want all of these things to happen in my life. One of the things I looked at, you know, I'm married. And I mean, there's time we see things like this here, but right now we have hope to make things change. If something happened to me where I have to be taken care of, somebody got to take care of me, someone got, you know, my wife, she's got to feed me and bathe me or whatever, then I'm out of here. I would not be around. Now that's just me. Now, understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying, I mean, things like that happen, but with what I know now, it won't happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying if it had happened. But now I have an answer now where we can go out more, because when we are seeing these things in life, that we can be able to go out and share what Jesus has done here in 3 John. You know, and get people set free in this area. Because, you know, we probably know someone, we probably have a loved one who is experiencing these things where the mate or their children or somebody is being, you know, taken care of. And, you know, God still loves them. But I think a lot of time when we start getting a revelation understanding what he's already done and what we have on the inside of us, it's a lot easier to go out and minister to others. And one of the reasons we can go out and minister to others is by asking him. Because he is the one that when we put him first, he is the one that will give, you know, will lead us right to that person. Because their heart is already prepared. And once we share this, boom, we see instant manifestation of his word manifested. Okay? We're going to go right back. We've already got it. I know I'm keep saying that, but I mean it's painting a picture. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as their soul prosper. Now, in the last 5 minutes that we have, we're going to wind this up, and this is what we're winding it up. It says soul. And when we look at the word, We look at health. Let's look at health for a couple of minutes. And as I was looking at this here, the definition of it is the condition of being sound in body, mind, or spirit, but the ability to recover and bounce back from illness and other problems. The word health refers to a state of complete emotional and physical well-being. That's where God wants us to be. That's where we are. Because on the inside of us, we're everything here that this word says here. It's there.
Amen.
Okay? We're going to show in a few minutes how to get there. Because a lot of time, even though in life there is time we might have setbacks, you know, we get attacked in areas or whatever. But always remember a setback is nothing but a setup for a comeback. That's how powerful the word is. Set back, set up for a comeback. We're going to deal with the last subject here. He says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. How do your soul prosper? We have a body and we have a soul. What information are we feeding our soul? Yes, ma'am.
Renewing your mind with the word of God.
Praise God. That's it. That's it. Anyone else? When you think of soul, what?
Prayer.
Okay. Anyone else? Mind and emotion. Okay, we're going to do it. Okay. Let's go to let's go to Romans 12, verse 2. Are we there? And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good an acceptable and perfect will of God. It's the word. It's the word. So when we look at everything that has been said, we bring it in, we connect it. This is the bridge we're going. It's the word of God. It's renewing our mind. Because whatever things we've been dealing with or whatever information or negative things we've been receiving, we can reverse it. How do we reverse it? Through the word of God, through renewing of our mind. We don't have to stay there. The word, if we apply the word, and I mean, it's not some little quickie. You know, there come a time when we really just have to set aside some time. The Lord, I just want to spend some time with you. You know, I want to spend time with you. Because in his presence, things, the secret things are revealed. Praise God. So that's what it is. It's spending time in the presence of God. Meditating on his word. What? Day and night. And so as we look here, we'll see as we look here, all those negative things, well, once we begin to renew the mind, The chain of things changes. What things change is the bitterness, hurtful, sickness, defeat, and it's changed into healing, loving, healing, healthy, victorious person that God have created us to be through the renewing of the mind. Amen. That's the purpose of it. Amen. Thank you for your time.
Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Mark in chapter 5. We're going to start off from verse 21, but just before I get into that portion of scripture or that passage, I just want to go over, make a quick point about 3 John 2. There's one chapter and it's verse 2, which we just looked at. Thank you once again, James, for bringing that word. It says, "Beloved, I pray." Our version says, "Above all things, that what? That thou mayest," KJV puts it, "prosper and be what? In health." Take a look into your Bibles, depending on what versions you have. After that word health, something else comes up. Now, another version says, "Even as," who has "even as" in your Bible? Even as what? Okay, what other conjunctions or connecting words are in there?
Just as.
Anyone else? Just as. Even as. Any other connectors in there from a different version?
So well.
So well?
The soul is well.
So here's what it is. Even as. That thou mayest prosper and be in health. Even as your soul what? Prospers. So, there is, looking into that scripture, there is a given that your soul prospers. But what is your soul prospering in? What is the thing that is set? What is your soul to be prospered in or to prosper in? First off, there's a correlation between you prospering and being in health. There's a correlation between that and your soul prospering.
Yeah.
By correlation, I mean there's a connection.
That's right.
There's a tie, even as, just as. Mm-hmm. So it means, friends, that for us to walk in the fullness of that which we've been called to, that which we have on the inside, which we've been talking about. He said, you already got it, based on the word shared this morning that he brought forth. But to be able to fully enjoy that and see the manifestation, not just once in a while in a blue moon or whatever in your life, but consistently and just based on what God perfected through Christ, then there's a correlation. It means your soul must prosper.
Yes.
In what?
In
truth, as by what? By, who said that? Judy. By the word. Someone say the word.
The word.
And that's the emphasis here, friends. By the word. So your soul must prosper. What is the soul? The mind, the will, the emotions, and the connection, the connectivity between those aspects. Sometimes also called the heart. But your soul must prosper in God. Must prosper in truth. And that truth is by what? By the word of God. Because it says in John 6, thy word is what? Truth. It's in God's word. And we'll close with that, you know, today. But so that means the soul must prosper, must be prospering in God, in his word. And as you do that, there are telltale signs that follow. Because you just begin to see manifestation after manifestation in your life as it concerns what? Healing.
Yeah.
And walking in divine health. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. We were at Mark chapter 5. From verse 21. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of what? Death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. And then immediately after that, it goes into the event with the lady with the issue of blood, correct? So we're going to skip that. But before we go on to verse 34, we're going to jump 10 verses to verse 34. But before we do that, who can describe how this father is feeling at this point?
Desperate.
Yeah. Any other word? How's this father feeling? You said you had something? Sorry? Oh, you're thinking.
He's frantic.
Frantic?
Yeah. Hopeful.
Hopeful?
Oh, yeah.
Hopeful?
Oh, I'm sorry. He's also believing, though, because he says, come and lay your hands and she will live.
Hallelujah. He's definite with it. Mm-hmm. Come. That's his, basically, friends, he's expressed his what?
Faith.
His faith. I'm looking for an E word.
Expectation.
He's expressed it clearly. This is what I expect. Yes, Holly.
Like him.
Yes. Yeah, his fell at his feet, his worshiping, magnifying the Lord.
Reverence.
Reverence in the Lord. Even in the state of what? In that state of what?
Desperation.
How's his heart feeling? His daughter, we don't know if it's his only daughter, but she's 12 years old from what we see later on. But she's what? He said she's at the point of what? Death. So it's good to have this at the back of our minds as we continue on this morning, okay? All right, verse 34. I'm closing out on the, you know, ensuing event. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Pastor Jim touched on this the other week. Excellent. Verse 35. While he was still speaking, while Jesus was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Your daughter, who was at the point of death, is now well and truly what? Dead. Confirm. Why trouble the teacher any further? So as far as confirmation is concerned, as far as news or information from the world is concerned, as far as that which can be seen, appreciated, as far as conclusions go, as far as finality goes, what? What's? I like that. It's over. End of discussion. I'm not talking about the vehicle, but yeah, I like that. It's a wrap. Don't bother. She's dead. Why bother the Lord or the teacher any further? Next verse. As soon as Jesus heard what? The word that was spoken. He said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. What was the word that was spoken that Jesus heard? She's dead? Okay, so the word, essentially, we can look at it in two ways. It's actually the message that was given. The whole message that was given by those guys that came from the ruler of the synagogue's home, the full message that was given, but it's centered on what? One singular word. Death. And friends, when we look at the world, I think James here mentioned it in passing real briefly. What is that thing that evokes fear most in the hearts of people?
Death.
And when we talk about healing and health, when we talk about sicknesses, diseases, by whatever name, if I were to go around the room and, you know, ask for names of infirmities and sicknesses and diseases, and there's so much out there in life, what do those things actually evoke?
Fear.
They evoke fear, and the ultimate end of that fear is what? What is that thing that is being contemplated that just throws everyone down the... is death. It's fear. But Jesus had a word. I'm going through that and I could hear him scream or shout so loud. Do not what? Do not what? Be afraid. Only believe. I like it in the Amplified. It says, do not be afraid. Here it is. Only keep on believing in me and my power. So here's one key point I want to make out. When he said only believe, it's not just, how do I put it? We can look at it as present what? Continuous. In spite. Someone say in spite.
In spite.
of what that situation or circumstance is, in spite of what that symptom may be, how it may be coming at you. Maybe it's someone that's projected it, and we'll get back to that, said something about you that, oh, you have XYZ. You now have this condition. Whether it's a pronouncement, whether it's a report, whether it's a result from a test or from some testing or from some labs or whatever it is, or maybe a symptom that you're experiencing, you know, privately at home or whatever, or maybe something that came up or that occurred based on an injury or an accident, something. But I'm just saying that it comes, friends, in different modes, different ways. The title of this short word teaching, exhortation, however you want to call it, this morning in this class is, are you ready?
Yes.
Question, are you ready?
Yes.
Thank you. Kent, are you ready? Why am I asking this question? Because friends, whether we like it or not, ready or not, things are going to come. Face us squarely. The way I used to describe this is like in the blue eye encounter, because guess what? The situation or circumstance, the issue or condition or experience or whatever it is, however that comes, is not going to draw us all together and say, okay, all of you, face this now. Does it do that?
Yeah.
Arthritis. Migraines. I'm not proclaiming, declaring anything. Trust me, that's not what I'm doing here. So don't, you know. So don't say, oh, I reject that or something. So, but when that comes, or that pain, or whatever it is, eyesight conditions or whatever it is, it's not gonna be congregational, it's not gonna be a collective. It's gonna face you and you alone, squarely. You, your body, your mind, your thinking, your heart, your everything about your soul. It's gonna ask you. Are you ready? Because guess what, friends? It's not when that thing comes that's not the time to go, oh, let me, you may and you should get in the word, but that's not the time to fortify yourself or have yourself steeped in God's word. We'll read this, continue down this passage, and I'm going to just highlight key points, a few points, just for us to see, have this amplified. And then I'll share, you know, what I started on last week, and I'll get into it more and then make a correction by way of an apology, if you will. Is that okay?
Okay?
All right. Praise God. So it says, keep on believing. Because the man already expressed faith by coming to Jesus and saying, just come lay your hands and she will be what? Healed. Even though she's almost dead, but he believed. So the report came. The report came that she's dead. And the Lord turned to him and says, do not what? Be afraid. Because guess what? If fear comes in, it has the capacity to do what? What does fear have the capacity to do? Steal by way. Here's how it operates, friends. It's by way of paralyzing you.
Yes.
Stops you. Doubt.
Yeah. Doubt.
An N-word.
Nullifies.
Neutralizes. In fact, did you have something? It kind of stops you, hinders you, but here's how it kind of incapacitates you. Even though the truth is that what do you have?
Healing.
What do you have within?
Jesus.
What is yours fully in Christ Jesus? All things that pertain to life and godliness, which includes what? In that package you talked about last week, your healing and health. Are we correct? Is this correct?
Yes.
And these are things we ought to be fully convinced of in our hearts as by God's word, so that when something tries to come or tries to hit, or whether it's already hit and you're standing in faith, there's only one way to go, friends. And this is how I put it. Ronnie, I'm coming to you. You had a comment. I'll say the word way is the only way. Because what do you do when you get into the word?
Convince yourself.
Sorry?
You convince yourself on what he says.
Amen. You convince yourself of what he said. What does the word do? Points you to do what? To pray, thanksgiving, worship, all of that stuff. It clearly reveals and expresses, I don't want to use the word tools, but all that you have richly, and it's for enjoyment purposes in your relationship with God, in your relationship with Christ Jesus. Okay, so I didn't say, the word way, meaning that there's nothing else to do, but I'm saying the word points you into that. You can worship. Someone mentioned it. The guy came and reverenced the Lord Jesus. Reverence is not you know, fear or trepidation. It's worship. It's you're magnifying the Lord. Ronnie, you had something.
When the ruler got the bad news,
yes.
The situation was already bad. Now it's worse. But Jesus did not allow him to speak doubt and unbelief. He said only believe.
Right.
So we realize the power of our words.
Amen. And
in this situation, right. He didn't allow him to say that doubt and unbelief.
And we'll see that as we go further in the reading. But thank you, Ronnie. So here's one thing to also emphasize here. You see, friends, why I'm asking the question, are you ready, is this. The moment something tries to hit, that moment, that time frame, that exact time frame calls for a reaction. And your reaction is going to be based on what you've been feeding on and what you have where? In your heart. Living, abiding, dwelling, residing, and that has root in where? In your heart. That's what's going to come out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the what? So instead of asking a question, I guess a funny in the middle of a teaching, instead of asking a question, what's in your wallet? I'm asking a question, what's in your heart? What do you have dwelling, residing, dwelling, reigning? What do you have reigning in your heart? R-E-I-G-N-I-N-G. Reigning. What do you have reigning in your heart? Is it God's word? Is it the truth? That's reigning there. And it's important. That initial reaction matters. Because guess what? It's going to determine, and I'm, like I said, I'm not proclaiming this. It's going to determine how you actually face that situation. You know, at the gate, are you like, okay, realizing who you are in Christ, victory is mine. And then you just go after it. Put down these scriptures. 1 John 4:4. Put them down. 1 John 4:4. I love them. 1 John 4:4, 1 John 5:4. Two passages. 1 John 4:4, 1 John 5:4. Those weren't part of the remnant today, but I just feel strongly to just share those with you. Tells you, y'all of God, little children, have overcome, because greater is he that is where? Than he that is where?
In the world.
Okay. And Yahweh says, whosoever is born of God does what? Yeah, there's a characteristic that defines you. There's something that follows you. There's something that just defines you. As it says what? You're an overcomer, period. Truth, that word says, truth that the Lord reveals about you and who you are. You're an overcomer.
Amen.
So out the gate, you need to see yourself in that light, regardless of what the situation or circumstances. And why did I just make that statement? Let's continue on reading. Praise God. Do not be afraid, only believe. Verse 37, and he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, why make this what? Commotion and what? Weep. The child is not... Say it. But what? So question for you, friends. Was the child dead?
Yes.
No.
Oh, okay. Let's. Question. Question. Was the child dead?
Yes.
Okay, so let's get this right. According to any human parameter that you could look at, the child was conclusively dead. Okay, D-E-A-D, but as I've shared before, my younger sister would always, to emphasize it when we would play back in the days as young, as teenagers and what, she would say D-E-D, dead, just to emphasize it, you know, dead, you know, so the child was dead, okay? But Jesus said, she's sleeping. The reason why I'm saying this is, let's not look at it as, oh, Jesus wasn't saying, oh, she's only in a state of coma, or that she just fainted. Or, you know, he wasn't trying to belittle it. So according to the facts, as far as, okay, reality, as far as, okay, what we can see, what we can, sensory perception, knowledge of science, medicine, and all of that stuff that those guys verified before they brought the news to the ruler that she was dead. She was, for all intents and purposes, dead. And Jesus said what? The child is not dead, but what? Sleeping. Why did he say that? Why did he say she was sleeping?
Jerk them out of their dead.
Sorry?
To, like, make them think and their mind go a different way.
Okay, to make them think and have their minds go a different way. Anyone else? Why did Jesus say she was sleeping?
That was his way of speaking that she's alive.
Agreed. Agreed. Thank you. Thank you. Why? One more. Why did Jesus say she was sleeping?
Because Jesus has the life to give.
Okay. He has life and life more what? Abundantly. And guess what? What kind of life do we have? Okay. All right. Anyone else? Why did Jesus say she was sleeping? Ronnie. Okay. All right. We're going to go there. We're going to go there. Romans 4:17. I like that answer. Romans 4:17. Let's go there. I want to show us something real quick before I get into the testimony of what I want to, what happened. Romans in chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Verse 17. Now, before I read, here's what I'm saying. Jesus, and not that any response was wrong here. All the responses were great and awesome. And I thought someone would say, sleep refers to, is a metaphor for death, and all of that from Greek and Hebrew and all of that stuff. But that's an aside. Here's the point, though. I believe strongly that Jesus said it because based on, he knew exactly by the power of God what was going to happen in the sense of, okay, yeah, she's dead according to world standards, right? But guess what? She's doing what? She's coming alive. She's coming alive because guess what? If you sleep, when you slept last night,
I woke up.
What was the expectation when you went to bed?
That I would wake up.
What was the expectation when you went to bed last night? Now, it doesn't matter whether you're 70 years old, 35 years old, 10 years old, whatever your age is, for all those days and all those years, when you go to bed, you expect... Was there a joke there somewhere? All right. That's the expectation. You sleep, you do what?
You wake up.
So he could already see. He already knew. He could already see that, okay, she's dead, but she's coming alive. So... hence, he referred to it as what? Sleep. Let's look at Romans 4:17. I wish I could go into that more, but there's something in there. But let's, per time, look at Romans 4:17. A description I want us to see. As it is written, I'm not going to read the passage contextually. I have made you a father of many nations, speaking concerning Abraham, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives what? Life to the dead, and calls what? Who calls those things that be not as though they were? And by way of revelation, I've looked at this passage and looking at this and looking at Genesis and all of that. Who calls those things that be not as though they were? And what I received was, and then they are. Those things that be not as though they were, and then they are. They come into being. They come into existence. Concerning God, it's just descriptive. It describes God, his personality, his person, and all whatnot. Going back to Mark 5, what Jesus did there. Look at it, friends. So, he calls those things that be as what? As though they were what? Not. Did you see it? He calls those things that what? Be. As though what? They were not. And then what? And then what?
They're not.
Look into your Bibles, Mark 5. Here's what I'm trying to say. God is awesome. For years, hear me say this, friends. I've heard people say, if you have something and then you say you don't have something and then there's the issue of confession, positive confession, negative confession, and this and that and that and whatnot. The child was dead. He said she was sleeping. Here's what I'm trying to hear the heart of God. And this is not the only time Jesus did this. There are other times as well, right? The girl was dead. Science, everything said she's dead. But Jesus said, no, she's not. That's not the end of the story. And maybe some of us here have been battling some things and we feel like it's a losing battle. You feel that you get to a state or stage where it feels like a lost cause. I'm saying this morning, you don't belong in that state of mind or consciousness. Might have been a long time. Because it's not only about, when I say, are you ready? It's not just about, before it hits. You may already be in a situation or a circumstance. But guess what, friends? Hope does not make ashamed, Romans 5. It does not disappoint. And that implicitly points to faith by way of you believing. Choose to believe truth. And run with that. And the only way you can believe truth is to see truth for what it is. And you can only see truth as revealed where? In God's word. And then he went on to proclaim in Mark 5. Jesus said some things and, because what the heart believes, the mouth speaks, right? Talitha kumi, or being interpreted, little girl, what? Arise. And instantly, someone that was dead came alive again. Mm-hmm. Praise God forevermore.
Praise God.
Give her food to eat.
Yes.
She walked around. So awesome. Now, I said something last week, and I want to just there's a whole lot more I can say there, but for time, I said how that was a situation that occurred, and I was told I was having a heart attack. And the reason I brought that to the fore was I'd asked the question, how many times have you been to the hospital? And they've said something that they've given a wrong diagnosis, right? And a few people raised their hands, and then I went on to share a testimony, which may not have been the best example, and I'll tell you why now, because it may have caused some confusion, which is why I'm apologizing. It may not have been the best example to say, they said you were having something, but you were not. Feasibly could have, but here's what it was. I'm going to be real quick. I got less than 2 minutes on this. I'd been here, came to the U.S. 2010 for like 3 years plus. Had no reason to go to the doctors, be at the hospital, not for myself anyway. It was just, loving, just great health-wise. I was at a bank at the time, Citibank, and then one night I'm sleeping, and then sharp pains woke me up to the left. Chest pains, real sharp, woke me up, so. And then I was like, what's this? And it was really, I couldn't breathe. So I got up, went in the basement, prayed, and just, blessed the Lord, and awesome, just gave it to him. And then after an hour plus 2 hours, went back to sleep, and, I said, it's going to be good. Slept, woke up the next day, went to work. It was still there, but not as heavy. And over the course of the day, it got so bad. And so I said, okay, you know what? I didn't even know what they were called. I was like, okay, where do I go? And then it's the urgent, they said urgent care. I had zero, medical, whatever. I had no idea. Just went and drove there. Okay, I'm feeling this chest pain. I don't know what this is. First time in the U.S., okay, as far as medical, whatever. And they did their checks and everything. Like, they clogged me up. Plugged me up and everything. Says, this is a heart attack and whatnot. They called the main hospital. They sent the ambulance. They said, you can't drive this. I said, I can drive this. And said, no, what? You know, it was kind of like an emergency thing. Rushed me there and set me up. Said I was having an attack. I called my wife. She joined me there. Why am I saying this? To all intents and purposes, all that they could see, the results and everything that they were seeing pointed to what? Period. So that's what the point I'm trying to emphasize here. All that they could see and all that they were, all the signs, everything pointed to that. Okay? But when my wife came and she sat there being seriously concerned, I turned to her and told her, I said, they can do all their tests and checks, but I know who I have on the inside of me, and I said that the evil one has nothing in me. They're not going to be able to pinpoint, they're not going to be able to find that thing to say, oh, this heart. This heart is done, or whatever, or heart attack. I said, they're not going to find anything like that. And then they ran tests over the course, tests several over the course of the day into the night. And at the end of the day, the head honcho came in and said, okay, sir, you're good. It's great. So here's what I'm saying. What happened there? Strictly power of God based on, you see, ready or not, are you ready? Your heart is in a place. Where's that place? Where's your heart? Is it in faith as far as believing, trusting in God and concerning that situation or condition or situation? And when it comes, you will speak. And what you speak is going to reflect what you have rooted in your heart. And it's good for your heart to be rooted in God's word. We're going to go to Proverbs 4. We'll continue next week. Thank you for your time, but are you ready? Love the Lord with what? All your heart, with all what? All your strength. Okay? And it's by God, his word. Just in place of relationship and fellowship and friendship. Amen. Prayer team.
Amen.
Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Is anyone here battling? You're here and you just feel, I just sense you've been battling and it's been ongoing. And just say you want a breakthrough. I'd love for you to come forward right now. Right now. You know who you are. I'm not going to mention name or names. Right now, the call is for on the terms of healing.
Okay.
On the terms of healing. You're here. You've been battling a condition, situation as it concerns healing. And you're seeking breakthrough. That's the word. That's the term, how you've termed it. I want you to come forward right now. Also, keep in mind, it may also not specifically be for you yourself. Maybe for a loved one, a family member. I'd love for you to come forward right now. Just join up with one of these prayer team members and faith and power to just get that situation addressed by the power of God. And there's liberty. If you have any other need or desire or want, or you want clarity in certain areas also, please make your way forward at this time. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for truth. Thank you for liberty which we have in Christ Jesus. Freedom from the hold of death and from the pangs which the enemy tries to perpetuate. Give you praise, Lord. Thank you, because it is for freedom that you set us free. And you decreed and declared that we're healed. And that is exactly who and what we are in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you for your time. Thank you.